All right, so welcome back to another episode of We're Disappointed, the podcast where we talk about things that disappoint us. In this episode, we are talking about food and cooking and just the culinary realm in general, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So how should we kick this off?
Well, I mean, maybe we should just kind of like dive right into what we were talking about.
Before we get too deep in the podcast, I would like to formally welcome Jen into the cult of Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Oh, thank you.
Give a little round of applause for that.
It has certainly been fun, and it kept me company a little bit, as much as the battery would allow, while my power was out this past week for several days.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Animal Crossing New Horizons. If you're not on it, get on it. If you are on it, message on Twitter. I may give you my friend code.
Same. And you can see my budding islands. It is finally a 3-star island. I feel very accomplished. And I'm getting that dog, that slider dog, to come play a concert there. Yeah. Yes.
That should probably happen the next time you sign in.
Yeah, I was thinking so.
Nice.
And is that when I will be able to start making like pathways?
I think so. I think you should be able to do it then.
Because it bothers me that I can't.
Like, that's when I got it. Like, I told you, like, my mortgage on my house is, like, over, like, a million and a half bells.
Mm-hmm.
And only after I got KK on my island was I able to start doing the pathways and messing with the waterways and messing with the cliffs and whatnot.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I'm sorry. You were saying before that.
You mean just about how to start the episode?
Yes.
Okay. Well, like we were just talking about before we started recording about kind of relationships with food and making healthy choices and things like that. So maybe you could chat a little bit about kind of like what goes through your mind when you are making choices about food.
Well, to start, like, I definitely don't have the healthiest relationship with food. Like, when I was younger, like, I probably had an undiagnosed eating disorder. Like many young people, I was very concerned with, like, my weight and managing that and all that. Like, most people in my family are heavy, like, really heavy. And I'm heavy, too. Like, a doctor would qualify me as overweight, but it's, like, for my height, there is I was told this by my pediatrician because I was a tall kid. He was like, for your height, we don't really have data for what you should weigh. Because I am taller than average woman. And I try to take that into account because like there's like a calculator that says like if you're like 5 feet, like they say your weight should be like 100 pounds or something, or 110. And then for every inch over that, you add like 10 pounds or something. And it's like, I'm like, that wouldn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I would look emaciated. I would look like a skeleton if I was.
Well,
like,
I mean, isn't that what like the fashion industry wants you to look like?
Definitely. Like if I was like 160 pounds or however much it would be, it wouldn't work. But
So quick interjection, like talking about like you like being tall and whatnot, I can't help but think of everyone like pooping their pants over that tall Resident Evil vampire lady. And I feel that like your moment is here.
I don't believe it. It's like it's driving me crazy. Like I said to Two Beards when that came out, I was like, this is just a fetish that extends to fictional characters. This is not going to translate over to real people. And I'm bitter about it. Yeah, I am a giantess in some circles. Don't
I wouldn't mind if you picked me up. It'd be fine.
I have picked you up, haven't I?
I'm sure you probably have.
It was after I started hitting the gym a lot. When I came to visit you after the gym, I remember we were walking to the burger place by you. And I was just like, let me pick you up. Because I was in a mode to like want to pick everything up. And I totally did.
Yeah, well, I'm pocket sized, so sized for your convenience.
There you go. But I, like, going back to my history, it's like I was okay with, you know, my weight because, like, everyone around me was heavy. It's like, what am I going to think? Like, that's what I grew up with, like, despite what, you know, was on TV at the time. But then my family started getting on me about my weight. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember my father used to get on me really bad about it. And then when he passed away, I was, I was totally comfortable. Like, it took me a while, but I got more comfortable in how I looked. And then, like, my mom just hit me with something. I was like, oh, do you want to have, like, lipo? Do you want to have, like, a breast augmentation? And I'm like, why would you ask me that? Like, out of nowhere. It's like, I never expressed any kind of desire. Like, I never talked to her about anything like that.
That's rude.
It is. It's very rude. And then, like, from there, it's like my esteem just plunged. And it was like, oh, on top of that, like, around this time, like, I had been dating Nogun for a while. And they were like, don't bring him around your friends and blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Why would you say that to me? And it's like all those things combined just like fucked me up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like was going really hard. I would like police what I eat a lot. I would like try to like I was trying to eat like I still fucking can't eat salads well, but I was trying to eat salad all the time. And what was it when I was in school, it was like a Special K thing. They were talking about if you eat like if you sub like a meal for a week for like a bowl of Special K, you'll drop X amount of pounds. I remember that. And I tried that and I got so sick. And I was like, I can't do this. But I feel after my bout with Crohn's, and like if you don't know, Crohn's disease is a hereditary condition that affects like it's like a catch-all term for a bunch of different conditions, I think, because it's like inflammation of your digestive tract, but it's not confined to one area. It's like the whole thing can act up if you have it really bad. And lucky for me, it was like isolated to my colon, like right by my appendix. And it was from December. Like I probably had it and was suffering with it all along. I didn't know until it reached a head in like 2007. But it was like from December to July, I was just in hell. And like nothing I ate would stay in me. I was dropping a lot of weight. And it was like anything I ate bothered me. It's like the stuff mm-hmm. I had been trying to eat would bother me. Cause like the whole thing is like, I had an inflammation in my colon. And it was obviously I couldn't eat any roughage because that would fuck it up more. And it's like the only thing that didn't bother me for a while was cheap, like garbage, like fast food.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all I could eat without my stomach cramping up and having to run to the bathroom immediately after I ate. And like and then after a while that stopped working for me too, so I was just fucked. But like I said, like imagine like you go from trying to stay healthy and eating like grilled chicken and salad and really portioning out what you eat, like making like I could take like a hero sandwich and make that last like 4 days.
Jesus.
And it was like I went from doing that to only thing I can eat is like chicken nuggets. Only thing I can eat is like the shitty chicken sandwich, like not even the good chicken sandwich, the one from like the dollar menu. So it was like it was weird. But in July I ended up having to have like emergency surgery, and they took out essentially that affected portion of my appendix, because it's like surgery is like last resort. It's like before, it's like they try to like maintain, like help you live with what's going on until you can't anymore, and then they have to give you surgery. And after that I haven't been bothered since. And you see, like, that was like July 2008 that this happened, so I've been good since then. But on the other side of that, it was like, why did I care so much about this? It was like I lost the weight, like I got down to what my goal weight, which was like 175 180 pounds, and it was like I didn't feel any better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this is what I feel like I should weigh, and it's just I still feel like shit. And it's like it was partly because I had been, like I said, I went into this dieting and then like the rest of the weight came off because I was sick. And it's like, obviously, if you're sick and you're thin, like you're not going to feel better. But like, I didn't feel good dieting either. Like, to be honest, I just felt like I was supposed to be doing that. But on the other side of that, like I just had a whole like perspective switch with like how I wanted to live my life in general. Like around that time, that's where I was like, I know in the other episode I talked about when I hit 30, I left my job and I started writing. But like before that, like around this time when I had the surgery, I was like, I got to figure out what I want to do because I don't want to work at this place for the rest of my life or like until it closes. And part of that was part of that lifestyle switch was changing my attitudes about food. And obviously, like I didn't like limp up to like a huge size, but like I have like I hit a size or a weight and I've been there since, and like I haven't moved since then pretty much. So I guess that's also pretty good. Like not gaining, I think, is just as important as losing weight. But yeah, it's complicated. First, like to the short version, didn't listen to any of that. It's complicated. But what's yours? What's your relationship with food?
Well, I don't, I mean, I don't think as complicated as yours. Like, I never really, like, paid much attention to that as a kid. Like, I mean, like, I think I've told you this before. Like, I, for some reason, like, you know, like in like middle school and high school or something like that, it's just like I always thought that I was like fat, even though I was a size like 5. Like, and I would always think like, you know, it's like I would have to like have like the absolute like flat tummy or something like that of like people in magazines, even though it was like slightly rounded because that's where my organs were.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, I mean, I like look back at pictures of myself and like I always feel that I like don't look good. And then I'll look back at pictures of myself and I'm like, well, it's like fine. But like I think about myself now, but like I'm like, but not now. Like, and like I know that like, I don't know, like 5 years from now, I'll look back at pictures of myself like, no, you're fine. And I'm like, but not now. Yeah. It's just that's how it's always been. But like I never really translated that over into like food. Like I just didn't really think about that a whole lot as a kid, which I think was good for me. Like not having to think about like dieting and whatnot. And I was pretty active as a kid too. Like I wasn't in like sports or anything like that, but we had property when I was growing up. And so, like, I was always running around there. And, like, so I you know, that, like, kept me in shape and whatnot. But I guess, like, maybe, like, the most interesting food thing about me, I suppose, is that I am a vegetarian. I've been vegetarian since, I want to say, like, 2005? Ish. That's probably about right. And it's like certainly like one could say like health reasons or whatever, but honestly like that part doesn't really concern me as much. It's just that I love animals and I don't like to think about like my appetites contributing to their suffering and death. So I prefer not to eat like meat and whatnot. And for like dairy products, I try when possible to get things that at least say that they're like, you know, humane practices and things like that. Just because I like to try to contribute as little as possible to like the suffering of any other creature. I feel that I have to make a disclaimer though and say that I don't care what any of you, the rest of you fuckers eat. Like it doesn't matter to me. You can eat anything that you want. Like, I don't care. Like, it's your decision and it's your body and you put in your body whatever the hell it is that you want. Just as like what I eat is my decision and it's my body. And so it's nobody else's business. So like, I am not one of those like preachy vegetarians It's just, I know that it's a personal decision. And so it's just, you do you.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, because if you were preachy, we couldn't be friends.
Yeah.
If you were preachy about it, we could not be friends. Because I don't know if it's because of the Crohn's or if it's just another hereditary thing. I'm a little anemic also, and I have to intake iron often. And it's like, I don't really want to do the pills because they taste like pennies. Mm-hmm. They taste like pennies, or like you have a mouthful of blood. And it's easier for me to just once a week, like, eat a burger. Like, I personally don't really like beef that much, but it seems like doing that, like, keeps me on an even keel.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, if you were preachy, I imagine you'd have more of an issue with that.
Well, did you see that Am I the Asshole recently, where it was like this guy was like going out of town on business, and he needed someone to watch his dog while he was gone. And so he asked his friend, who is a vegan, to watch his dog.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he like, you know, obviously like gave her like specific instructions and like his food and like told, you know, like all the things that you would tell someone who's going to be watching your pet. And like, when he came back, like, he noticed that the food in his dog's bowl like looked different. And he was like, what happened like to my dog's food? Like, what, like, why is it different? And apparently she threw it out and got him vegan food instead, which is just like
it's fucking just, rude. It's so presumptuous.
It's rude and it's dangerous. Like, dogs are not supposed to be on a vegan diet. Cats are not supposed to be on a vegan diet. Like, if you can't handle that, then get like a hamster or something. Like, get like a, like, herbivore pets, and like, certainly like, don't like do that to someone else's
dog.
You're gonna kill the animal.
Yep.
I mean, thankfully it's like, you know, it wasn't a long trip, so it's not like the dog suffered. Like, it was, the dog's not sick, but it's like, I can't stand that, like, people getting carnivores for pets and then essentially slowly killing them because they want them to be on a vegan diet. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But anyway, it didn't even stop there. Like, so she threw out the dog's food and like, got him like a vegan diet. And then she also went into the dude's fridge and threw out all of his meats.
What the fuck is wrong with her?
Like, he said that he had like some really expensive like lobster or something like that in there that like he was looking forward to eating when he returned. And it was like all gone. And so the Am I the Asshole came into play because like he got really mad. And he said, like, get out of my house. And also, he wasn't going to pay her because he was like, the food that you threw out was worth more than what I was going to pay you. So it's like, we'll call it even. Like, yeah. I'm not paying you for you watching my dog because you threw out his food and you threw out my food. So fuck you. And so, like, she, like, lost her shit and, like, I guess, like, refused to, like, leave his house. I think he had to, like, call or at least threatened to call the cops to, like, have her removed. So she's absolutely insane.
And so I'm like, how is he friends with her? Like, she obviously is crazy. Like, she had to do something crazy before this.
Yeah, but it's like, maybe it was like, I don't know. Like, like, if you have, like, a crazy friend, but it's always like crazy that doesn't affect you, like, you might be able to like explain it away or something like that, you know?
Nah.
And, you know, he may have just been like desperate to have someone watch his dog. Like, maybe like, it, you know, no one else is going to work out. He needed someone to watch his dog.
Yes, next time, like, what are you going to do? Next time he should try to see if he can find some kind of fucking
like a pet sitter service thing. Or something.
Yeah, like, either someone to board him or like that one service where you can have someone come and like walk your dog and feed your dog. Like, you just have to pay them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, clearly he made a bad call in having her, like,
in his life.
Sit for him. Yeah, in his life, yeah.
In his just life at all.
Crazy.
That's nuts. But no, I did not see that one. But I was just talking to Nogan about this yesterday. Like, I watched BuzzFeed Unsolved on YouTube, even though the host is questionable. Like, his practices for fact finding are not the greatest. but he had this story I hadn't heard from 2019 talking. This is a divergent, you know what I mean? It's getting off topic. But it was about this e-girl who got killed by her boyfriend that she met online. And like, we've said this before, like people say you're not supposed to judge if something is wrong with somebody by how they look, but the guy looked crazy. And like, I'm sure he had something else. He had done something else crazy prior to murdering her over supposedly nothing. But it's just like, come on, girl. Come on. Like, I don't understand how people can ignore that. Like, you get a feeling about somebody or you notice some kind of erratic behavior and it's like, you should just stop. You should end mm-hmm. the relationship there and leave this person alone. It's like, unless you're like related to the person and you cannot leave the house, like you can't get away from them. Like anyone else in your life is optional. Like you don't have to have crazy people in your life.
So like along those lines, like me and Tara were talking just last night about like people that we know who like have children with like their husbands. Or a child at least. And like this one in particular, like she is debating whether or not she wants to have another kid. Mm-hmm. It's like she just had one, like, I don't know, like a couple of years ago. And so she's debating whether or not she wants to have another kid, but like her husband's like never helps, like is like, you know, like one of those lazy pieces of shit who like feels that it's like not his job or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess like he like also like when they get into fights, he like loses his temper and like calls her names and stuff like that. Mm. And it's just like, why would you consider having another child with this person? Why would you still stay with this person?
Mm-hmm. Have another like, kid what is just wrong with someone with you? Else. Have another kid with someone else.
Well, like, another complication, such as it were, like, is that, like, she is coming up on 35, and she feels that she has to be done having kids at 35. Like, she can't have a child after that. Like if she had a child after that, she says that she feels that society would judge her. And it's just, like, I can't even imagine living my life in that way. Like, Tara and I were talking about how, like, it's just... Like, we don't really, like, it's just very weird to, like, consider what, quote unquote, society would think about your decisions as if it, like, matters.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, who is going to know? Like, even beyond that, it's like, you're coming up on 35. You have, like, people cannot tell how old you are by looking at you most of the time.
Yeah, well, it's probably, like, people in her life. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's, like, you don't get to be, like, that kind of, like, shallow sort of person if you don't, like, if you aren't socialized to be that way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming that that's just probably how members of her family are. More than likely. Like, I know someone else whose family members are like that. And, yeah, like, she's also a shallow person. And so it's just... It sucks because it's like, I just can't imagine like huge life decisions like that being governed by something so fucking stupid and petty.
Yeah, I feel like it's like 70% family, 30% friends you make in early childhood.
Yeah, it's like, it's really weird. I mean, like, you know, sometimes like there will just be like a sharp deviation in children. Like, it's like they'll have like somewhat same upbringing, but one will just like go like on a severe like turn mm-hmm. and just be incredibly different. And it's difficult to see like why that is the case. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's like one thing that like I really don't miss about where I used to work is mm-hmm. like it was like in like school nutrition. And it's just like every like it was predominantly women. And all of them were, like, obsessed with dieting and,
what they ate.
Yeah, and, like, always, like, making, like, catty remarks to each other about those sorts of things and, like, about other people. And it's just, like, grow up. Like, who even are you? Like, why would you, like, think that, first of all, let alone, like, say it? Like, what is your problem?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there was this time that, like, Tara and I saw one of our coworkers in the grocery store, and she was, like, buying, like, a thing of, like, cupcakes from the bakery, mm-hmm. and she, like, felt the need to, like, explain, it's not for her. Like, yeah, it's, like, I don't care.
Like, eat all those cupcakes.
Yeah, like you could just like open it right now and go to fucking town on it, and I wouldn't care. Like, it's none of my business. You're weird.
People don't understand that though. Like, that shit is none of anyone, because they're in other people's business. So mm-hmm. they imagine that people are going to do the same thing to them. And I think that also comes from upbringing a lot of the time.
Yeah. It sounds exhausting. Like, to always be thinking about that and, like, living to other people's, like, perceived standards of what you should be eating and stuff. It's just, like we don't have enough going on. Like, let that shit go.
That just reminded me of, like I talked about, you know, my earlier development. Like, my dad getting on my case about what I ate and shit like that. It's like... He got it from his parents, more specifically. I don't know about his father, because, like, my grandfather was a very stoic, quiet man. Like, we talked, like, you know, like, in passing. Like, we never had any in-depth conversations. But it's like, he only told me stuff about himself, like, twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, while he was alive. But my grandmother was a case altogether. Like, she used to get on me all the time about being chubby, like, as a kid.
That's so horrible and hurtful.
It is. It was. She used to call me a butterball, which I was not that fat as a kid. And she's like, you want to be a butterball? You want to be a string bean or some shit like that? And I'm just like, literally none of the women in my life around me are skinny. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And then I remember, I don't know if this happened to you, but, like, when I entered high school, there was a bunch of, like, bullshit advertising and stuff that used to come to the house. It was, like, kind of like a catfishing kind of things. It was like, oh, model search. You were in this age group. You could be a model for this company for, like, not a company, but we work with these companies and you could get work working for them and blah, blah, blah. And I remember I got it. I didn't really think anything of it. I was just going to toss it away. Like, it came in the mail for me. And, like, I remember I was sitting on the porch with my mother and my grandma. This is my father's grandma still. I mean, my father's mother. And they were like, well, you could do that if you were thinner. And, like that was going to be a motivation for me to lose weight or something.
Wow.
I would let you do that if you were thinner. I remember it was sometime I have a lot of this shit, apparently. But, like, it was sometime when we were at the mall. My mother, like, this is another time she hit me with that. At the mall, saw a girl who was in my kindergarten class, and I was like in middle school, and we talked, we were fine. My mom talked to her mom for a minute, and then we parted ways. I'm not thinking anything. I was like, oh, it was nice to see her, blah blah blah. And then my mom was like, oh, I would let you wear something like that if you were thinner. And I was like, I didn't say anything. I wanted to wear her fucking clothes. What do you mean? What do you mean?
I just, like, cannot get over how just incredibly rude all of this is.
It's terrible. And it's like, this, like I told you before, I felt like for a long time, women were like competition to me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is why. This is why. Like, this kind of thing. This, like, this, and don't bring your friend around your boyfriend. And it's just like, just looking at it, like, from my, through the eyes of an adult. It's like, there are so many better ways to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you're concerned about my weight as a kid from another, like, you know, beyond a superficial standpoint, it's like, how about the whole family go on a diet? How about the whole family eat better? Because it's like, you're putting, you're taxing a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old with the job of policing their own food that you're giving to them.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
That's crazy. Well, let's talk about, like, positive food things now. Like, what are, like, some of your favorite things to eat or, like, your favorite things to cook?
I honestly, like, even though I said my relationship with food is better now than it was, I honestly can't think of a favorite food. Like, I don't.
Not even that Cuban sandwich?
No. It's like, I'll have it. Like, there's nothing that I eat that I would like. Like, I don't have any, like, stranded on a desert island foods. Like, nothing I'd be okay with eating all the time. Like, I don't know if having the surgery scrambled my brain because I had a super high fever, which is what made me go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, after eating something like twice, it's like, I don't want to eat this for like a month.
I mean, I have like those, like I get like oversaturated with food too. Like, but it takes me more than twice. It's just that like for a while, like for lunch at work, I would have like one of those like Amy's burritos.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got like tapped out. I was just like, if I have to eat another Amy's burrito, I will fucking kill myself. Like I can't do it anymore. And it's like, I'll like reach that too. Like I had a point like where I reached that with yogurt. Like I was having like a yogurt for breakfast, and then I was just like, I can't eat another spoonful of yogurt. I will die. Like it will just destroy me. So like I reached those points, but then, I mean, you know that I also have foods that I will eat any day of the week for forever.
Yep.
And like, I will never tire of them. Like I order every Friday my Penang curry with tofu and the spicy tofu appetizer from my favorite Thai place. And it's amazing. And I don't know what I'll do when, like, I know all things have to come to an end. And one day, like, I don't know, like however many years from now it is, I will no longer have access to that food, whether that restaurant like decides to go out of business or like something happens, the world ends, whatever. And I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do?
Learn to make it yourself. That's the only option.
I'll have to like beg them for like the recipe so I can try to make it myself.
Yep.
And then then I live in constant fear that like it like has like fish sauce in it or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like even though like it's supposed to be vegetarian, and then it'll just be devastating to me. I do prefer to live in ignorance sometimes. Like I make what I feel is like my due diligence effort in like making sure that something is vegetarian, but I don't give someone like a grilling interrogation for mm-hmm. like their ingredient list. And I just hope for the best.
Fish sauce is so fucking crazy, though. It's insane. Like, for Thanksgiving, I made my turkey. I got the recipe off of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And the YouTuber, she added fish sauce to the gravy. So I went out and I found some. Oh, my God. Like, I can taste it in food and it tastes good. But the smell of it. It smells like a public restroom.
Oh.
It's so bad. Really? Yes, it's insane.
Oof.
And I was like, when I opened it, I was like, someone smelled this. Is this bad? Do I need to throw this in the trash right now? But Milgan had smelled it before. He's like, that's just how it smells. Like, I heard it smelled bad, but I was unprepared for how bad it smells.
I mean, I guess fish doesn't have the greatest smell anyway. And if it's like concentrated into a sauce, yeah, like I guess fermented. That makes sense.
It's fermented outside in barrels.
Oh
yeah. But I was not ready. But I'm trying to think of a favorite food. I can list a couple of things that over the course of a month I could possibly be okay rotating through. Does garlic count as a food?
Yes.
Like I wouldn't eat just straight garlic, but I do add garlic to
it.
Everything.
I have.
Why?
Well, it's been like the whole garlic clove and like the Brussels sprouts that I make.
Well, that's different. It's with and the so, Brussels like, sprouts. It's just not like you're making a meal of it.
No, but like I will like spear just a whole clove of garlic and put it in my mouth while I'm eating it.
Well, like I mean, I've done that too, but like, I mean, that's not a meal food. Like, it's not... Like, an avocado, you could probably technically eat an avocado by itself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I'm not having, like, a bowl of garlic just by itself. Yeah. Although, maybe I would. Like, I mean, it doesn't sound that bad. It'd probably make me sick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I love garlic.
I do, too. Like, I literally... Like, I have a garlic shaker on my desk right now. I put garlic in everything.
Yeah, well, I have garlic powder, but then I also get that garlic paste that I like squeeze into everything, and I'm very generous with it.
Yeah, what do you call it? Like, you changed when I was staying with you. Like, you changed my life with having the minced garlic in a jar. I was like, they make mm-hmm. this.
Yeah,
And so it's like it's a staple in my house now. Like I always have to have some in the fridge. Avocados are another good one. Like I will put them on everything. I will eat them. Mm-hmm. Like I like avocados because they're like a good base for things. Like yeah. I remember there, like I got a loaf of like cheese bread, like bread with like cheese baked on the top from the grocery store. And like for a week, I was okay eating that for breakfast. I cut a hunk of bread off, toasted it, put the avocado and garlic on and cheese. And like I could change it. Like one day I add a tomato. One day I add some bacon. One day I leave off the cheese, like that kind of thing. Like mm-hmm. I was totally fine eating that. Yeah, okay.
Well, I just feel for me that like usually what pushes me over into like I can't eat this anymore for a little while territory is like something to do with like texture. Mm. Like texture is like my like big like oh no. like it'll just be like something slightly off and I'll just be like, I can't eat this anymore. It's done.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I remember I also have a problem with when I cook sometimes, if I'm smelling it too much, I can't eat it. Mm-hmm. Like I used to cook a lot. Like this is a good segue into the next part about cooking. But like I mentioned in the last episode, like I could not cook anything in my house unless I was cooking for someone else. And then I left my house and went to school. And then this busted ass rickety ass school that I went to, their dorms didn't have like meal plans. They were like apartments and they had kitchens, so I had to learn to cook. Mm-hmm. And it was like a good experience for me because it helped me figure out like what I like to eat. Mm-hmm. Because like I was mostly beholden to, quite frankly, like what my father wanted to eat. Like that's what my mom would eat, that's what we would get to eat. It didn't really matter what anybody else wanted to do, it's what he wanted. And I learned to, like, I got to tune things to my taste. And then it got to a point, it's like, I don't want to eat anybody else's cooking anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's not from a restaurant, I don't want to eat anyone else's, like, cooking experiments unless I feel like they're on my level cooking-wise. And then so from there, like, I left the dorms and I got an actual apartment for a little while. And I had my family come down for Thanksgiving, like my mom and my brothers, and I got to cook. I cooked everything. I just wanted to prove that I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But from then it seems like I fucked up because Thanksgiving has been my job since then.
yeah they were like, oh, she did a good job. It's your job now forever and ever.
Yeah, it's like it's part necessity, part film just forcing it on me, because like the way we used to do Thanksgivings before was with my father's family, like when he was alive, when my grandmother was alive, and then they just fucking disappeared after they both died and we mm-hmm. don't really have contact with them, so it was just on us to do it. And I kind of, you know, I didn't want to feel like we were lacking, like we don't need these people because they want to be shit, we don't need them. And that's kind of why I put so much effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a struggle at first, but I got it down now. I'm in my Thanksgiving group. Like, I enjoy cooking. I like cooking and I like being appreciated for my cooking. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's not just like, I just want to cook and then just sit here and then watch you eat food and then leave. Like, you gotta heap praise on me.
Yeah.
You gotta tell me it's good. Like, I remember I went down to Virginia after Nogan's mom moved down there. And I was helping her with the cooking because her kids were not helping. Like, Nogan was helping. The other son was not. And then the daughter, I don't know what her deal was, but she just would not assist. And I felt it was awkward for me. I was like, your mother's sitting here trying to hurry up and do this. And y'all just standing by and fucking around on your phones. Like, I had to step in and do something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I told her, I was like, I can do this and I can do this. That you seem like you have everything else. So I made like mac and cheese and I made rolls. And you know how good my rolls are and my mac and cheese. Mm-hmm. And it was so awkward because it's like, it was his family. Some of them I hadn't met before. Like, because the majority of his family lives down there, his mother's side. And put the food out. Everyone's taking a plate. Everyone's eating and they're just quiet. I was like, do they like it? Do they not like it? What's wrong?
That's weird.
Yeah. And I was like, ask your Brandon. I was like, is there something wrong with it? And then I said, Brandon, whatever. Asking No Gun. And he was just like, just yelled like, hey, she thinks she don't like her food. And you're like, no, no, it's good. They were saying it would be a problem if everyone was talking.
Okay.
But they were eating and just enjoying it. But it's just like, again.
I mean, I guess they were like busy stuffing their faces.
I guess. But again, it's just like, wow, this is good. Like, someone say something like that. Like, give me one of those and I'll leave you alone.
I don't think that I mean, most of my cooking has just been for myself. Like, I mean, when I, was married, honestly, like, I would cook, but it was always very rushed. I mean, because I was, like, in school, I was teaching, I was working, and so it's just, like, I didn't have a lot of time to devote to it. And so it was just, like, whatever I could do that was, like very fast. And even then, like when like I, you know, live on my own, like when I was still teaching and working and everything like that, like you remember, like I would get home like at like 10:30 at night. And it's just like there's no time to cook dinner. Like and it's just like I was always rushing from place to place. I feel that like since I've scaled back and now like stopped teaching since what was it last spring anyway it doesn't matter I have started to like do it more and enjoy it more and like get into it like I finally feel like I have the time to do it and like I also feel that like there's always like I always hear like other families, other people like having like these like sort of like childhood recipes, like things like food that they like associate with their families. And it's like, I just really don't feel like I have that. Like it's bizarre. Like, at least to me, like it just seems that like there's no food that I would associate necessarily with my family. Other than like maybe like definitely when I think of my grandma, I think of like on my mom's side, I think of her carrot and raisin salad.
There you go.
And it's disgusting. And
I didn't say it had to be good.
And her no salt bread. Like those are the things that I think of. But it was never anything that was like necessarily made for like the family. It was always just like she had it for herself. And so it's not like a family dish.
You don't associate pork chops with your mother?
Well, I was about to go on to that next. Yes. I mean, just like giving my jaw a fucking workout, like just the endless chewing. And it, like maybe this is like where I get like some of my like texture phobia from, because I just remember like having like eventually I had to swallow. Like I'm sitting there for like just like forever chewing this piece of meat, and it's like it has to go down or it has to come out. Like those are my only two choices, and so like just having to swallow it, yeah, oh man, I'm like feeling sick just thinking about it.
Oh no.
Like like just like the feel of it, and it's just so dry and like big, like just like this like horrible disgusting like chunk of sawdust in your mouth that you just have to take down is the worst. It's the worst.
It sounds so terrible.
It was
food associated with my family. I don't know. I feel like it used to be foods. I would associate them with the family because we would only eat them at certain times. Like yams and stuff, like how people only have that at Thanksgiving, and then Thanksgiving is because the family is a family gathering, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that I feel like that's another reason why I like don't have that aspect is because like we didn't have celebrations.
One food that again has like kind of become my mantle now was macaroni salad. Mm-hmm. And like my mom would make it. And it was the few times we tried to reach out to my father's family, that's what they asked for us to bring. Mm-hmm. It was my mom's mac. Like they just really enjoyed it. I don't know why. And those times I ended up making it. But nowadays, and like that used to be a summer only food. We would have it when we would cook out in the yard, like a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And now, because I cook, I just make it whatever the fuck I want. So it's not really like a family association anymore. And I like have tweaked the recipe again to my own personal taste. Everyone seems like they're okay with it, so that's fine. Mm-hmm.
So what foods would you, like you've mentioned, like your mac and cheese and your rolls and your macaroni salad. Like, are there any other foods that you would say are like your signature dishes?
No, because I feel like those I enjoy making. I feel like I am pretty good at anything that I try to make. Like, I think I'm just a decent cook for the most part. But there's something.
Go ahead.
One more thing I do enjoy making is lasagna, especially since I've started making my own sauce for it now. Like that, mm-hmm. like pumps up the flavor and also gives you like more control over what it tastes like. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say?
What was I going to say? I don't remember.
What is your? Do you feel you have a signature food? Or dish?
Now I remember what I was going to say. I feel that I am a good cook as long as I have a recipe to follow. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I kind of got a late start in really like thinking about cooking and like cooking like more like creatively and not just like making whatever is the fastest and the easiest, mm-hmm. that like I'm still like coming into my own as far as cooking goes. But like, mm-hmm. If I have like a recipe to follow, then that's fine. Like I do very well with that. But I think that at least what I am usually the things that I tend to bring, like if it's like a potluck situation, is one of them is queso, mm-hmm. which is always amazing. And then that like summer pasta salad that I make with the pine like nuts. Mm-hmm, and like the tarragon, and just basically I just go through their produce section and I start like loading up on things that just like look good. And then also, I like to make like those little goat cheese toasts, yeah. for potluck situations. I feel like those are the staples that I fall back on, like when I need to bring food somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna bring up goat cheese toast if you didn't.
I haven't made those in a while. They're so good.
Yeah. All those things she mentioned are really good. I'm going to try to get Nogan to make those little shrimp crostini things that he made for Thanksgiving again.
Mm, those looked tasty.
Yeah, they were so good. Like, he did a really good job. We just had to find a smaller container of pumpkin. It was like a 28-ounce can. And mm-hmm. he used like a very little bit, like just enough to cover the toast. And then we had like mm-hmm. like almost 2 cups of pumpkin left.
You should have made a pumpkin pie.
I don't think it's enough for that.
Ping pie.
Ping ping pie. I love that lady. I still follow her. She's so crazy. All right. So what is like, since we were just talking about tasty foods, what is a gross food? Like, what's a gross food you've eaten?
My mom's pork chops.
Yeah.
I would say like meat stuff, just because like that stuff does like gross me out now. But it's really more of just like I think of like the origins of it, mm-hmm. because like I have no problems with like the vegetarian substitute for it. So it's like, it's not necessarily like the tastiness factor. It's just like the gross out factor for me.
Well, what's something that's gross in taste?
Gross in taste. I mean, I feel like I'm not that picky. I mean, I could tell you, like, you know, we had that conversation about oysters not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Though I've never actually had one myself. Like, even when I ate meat, like, I would never, like, looking at it, it's just, like, snot cum. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Snot cum. Snot cum on a little shelled vagina.
Ugh.
That's what they look like. But, I guess I've had a fried oyster and it was disgusting and I didn't like it. Because, like, you know, like, frying is supposed to make everything taste better. Mm-hmm. It did not work for that. It also doesn't work for fucking okra. Oh, God, I hate okra.
I don't know that I've ever had okra.
It's a fucking snot. Are you talking about snot cum? It's a snot pod with seeds in it. Like, it's like the whole inside of it feels like something that's just, like, decayed. And it's like, why are you putting this in your mouth?
What, can't you like flush it out? Can't you like,
no, that's the part of the, like, you're not supposed to eat just the outside, you're supposed to eat the whole thing as is.
Oh,
it's gross. And I in that same conversation, I think I talked about frog legs and
mm-hmm.
how they're gross and they're just fucking,
I've never had frog legs,
lucky you.
And I never will.
I never had chitlins, even though they were in my house. Like, I guess they were, I guess they were too much work to make.
That's the intestine stuff, right? Yeah. Okay.
And then, like my grandmother would make them. It's one of those, like, New Year foods. And
why would you want to start your year off that
way? I don't fucking know. Like, all the other ones make more sense. Like collard greens, cornbread, and black eyed peas is supposed to be dollar bills, gold, and like coins, respectively. That's what they're supposed to.
Okay.
That's what they're supposed to represent. What the fuck chitlins represent? I don't know.
I just have no idea. Shitty life is.
There you go. It's like those things, like eating those things are supposed to attract money to you, like throughout the year. That's the hope. But yeah, chitlins, like, they smell so bad.
The fates see you eating chitlins and they're like, they feel sorry for you.
There you go.
They're like, we gotta kick a few bucks their way.
Oh, so terrible. But yeah, like, it would take forever and it would stink up the whole house. And I imagine, like, after my grandmother spent all this time making it, like, she didn't want to waste it on me when she knew I wouldn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you don't want this.
I don't have any family traditions. Like, I can't think, like, there's not, like, a dish that, like, there's just, I don't know. Like, I feel like I have no traditions, I have no culture. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just because, like, there was no holidays, there was no celebrations.
Oh, yeah,
because,
like, Jehovah's it's Witness. Just,
yeah, so it's just, like, I don't have anything. Like, there's nothing that I can point to for, like a regular food that we would eat every year. I was going to say something else. I don't know why I'm suddenly so forgetful. Fuck.
This is how I feel when we record after 4 o'clock.
So I guess maybe the afternoon is my time. Fuck, what was I gonna say? Oh well, it wasn't that interesting.
Aww. Well, if it comes back to you, like, you know, interject, put it in there. But you just gotta make your own. Like, I feel like that in general, like the no culture, like that thing I said, like that's a cultural thing that apparently, like, my extended family was doing, but like my nuclear family wasn't really doing that
mm-hmm.
that thing. And it's like I saw people talking about it like on Twitter, and then this particular year my mom decided she wanted to do that, so we were doing it then. but it's not something like that I consciously grew up with. You know what I mean? Like,
I remember. But okay, go ahead.
Like my grandmother would have those things in the house, but like I never knew why. But go ahead.
So like I was just thinking about like gross foods and like all of the times in my life that I was like tricked into eating gross things that I didn't want to eat, that I would not have eaten like had I had a choice. And they were all like meat related, which like maybe like explains why like that and the pork chops maybe explains why that it was so very easy for me to transfer over into being a vegetarian. Like probably lots of people have these stories about like my, and I've told you this before, like my aunt like came down from Oregon and she had jerky with her and I was just like a little kid. And so, like, she shared it with me, and it, like, turned out that it was, like, venison, which was, like, horrifying to me, and I was just, like, very upset. Because, you know, it was, like, Bambi, right? And then, like, the other time that, like, I was, like, over my cousin's house, not my Hot Topic cousin, but the girl cousins that I was friends with. And it was like someone from our church had come over. I think her name was Mary. It doesn't matter. And she had like she had brought over food. I don't know why she brought over food, but like she shared it with us and it was like pig's feet. And it was just like, it's just disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not into it. I've never had it. That's something else that also smells like really terrible to me.
I just like, I don't know. I feel this is probably like a bad, like judgy thing to say, but like, I just feel that like you don't have to eat like intestines. Like you don't have to eat like just like these like really like terrible, like pig's feet or something. I mean, I guess people may like thoroughly actually enjoy them, but I'm just like, why? Like, it's so gross. Why would you make that choice? There are so many other things that you could eat that like aren't like a butthole.
I know some stuff, it's like people, like I can't speak for pig's feet because the smell of it just puts me off. But like some people, like they just grow up with things and
yeah,
they just are used to it and they just keep doing it. Like chitlins, like that's like a food I feel that doesn't have like a whole lot of nutritional value or just general appeal. And I know people all over the place eat organ meat like that, but just no. to my sensibilities, I can't imagine eating it. Oh, there's this thing that reminded me real quick. There's this thing my mother eats. That is like, I feel it's another one of those foods where it's like you grew up with it and you just continue eating it, even though it's not the greatest. And it's called pudding, like kind of like how Harley Quinn addresses the Joker. And it's a sausage made from liver, but liver is like a really mealy kind of, like when you grind it up, it doesn't hold together like other meats, like the muscle meat does. So it's like when you... I'm sure they put some kind of filler in it also. So like when we cook it for her, like we put it in the oven, like we don't do it on the stovetop, just throw it in the oven for a while. And it's like, it looks like dark brown sawdust. And that's what it feels like when you eat it. Like it's totally uncomfortable. Like it doesn't smell terrible. Like organ meats tend to smell kind of gamey to begin with, but like it smells a lot better than like chitlins or something like that. But it's just wholly unappealing. I was just like, why do you want this? It's like we have so many other things. It's like I could get you some sage sausage, I could get you something else. Nope, must have pudding.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, you know, it's just like you grew up with it. It's like you're it's an acquired taste perhaps. I mean, like, again, like, I keep pointing to my vegetarianism. I feel that it is, like, part of the reason why I'm so, like, about it. It's just, like, the thought of, like, especially, like, organ meat is just, like, oh, it's, like, gives me, like, the, the chills or something. It just like seems so horrifying to me. Like, because like they don't, like, it's not like muscle cuts of meat necessarily look amazing, but it's like, I don't know, they look better than just like these like slimy little piles of like blobby organs.
Yeah,
it's just, ooh,
it's just like
it looks like something you should avoid.
Yeah, like for me, it's like it grows. They kind of creep me out because I feel like the muscle meats look better, and it's just something about eating something that does such a specific job bothers me.
Yeah,
like I don't want to eat your organ that is like your liver that's like cleaning your blood. Like that's kind of a lot to me. That's wholly unappealing to me.
But again, like, you know, if you had grown up where that was like just this normal thing that you do,
then like I wouldn't think, I wouldn't think twice.
Yeah, exactly. But like we did not eat that in my family. I was thinking like of like weird like family dishes when you brought up that pudding stuff, and this is like whenever I think of like weird family dishes, and it's not even like a family dish, it's just something that my mom like eats and that like her parents would eat. I've told you this before. It's like buttermilk with like saltines like pushed in it, so it's like all like mushy, and like black pepper, and I think sometimes onions.
Yeah, that sounds like vomit. Sounds like something you would throw up.
Yeah. It's just so disgusting, and it's like, why would you, like, I feel it's just like, it was it like a depression era meal, like it where definitely. It's just like you didn't have anything in your pantry, and so it was just like whatever you could scrape together for like a sort of meal, like that's what you did.
Mm-hmm. There's like a woman on YouTube who has like a segment on her channel devoted to that kind of thing. I gotta see if she puts something like that in there,
like depression era foods.
Yes. Like, that's the whole spiel. It's, like, not just from here, but, like, other places, like, where people, hold on, let me look her up, where people wouldn't have money, like, this is what they would eat. It was, like, it's interesting. I wouldn't fucking do it. There we go. I'm just looking for what she's got on here. Military rations.
Like, I feel like now, like I started this off saying that I like don't judge other people for their food choices, and now I feel like I'm being judgy, but like I just want to make it clear that it's like, you eat this shit, that's fine. Like, I don't like it, I think that it's gross, but that doesn't mean that I think that you like shouldn't eat it. It's just like you like it and you like grew up with it, but yeah, like I personally wouldn't eat it, but like I'm sure that there are lots of things that I eat that you wouldn't eat. So it's just like, whatever. We eat what makes us happy.
And we're culturally sensitive here. Like, no shame for eating liver or pig's feet or chicken's feet. Like, that's just our first impressions upon seeing these things and the reasons why we would not eat these things.
Yeah, and again, like, I'm sure that there are things that I eat that, like, it would make other people go, like, their first impression would be like, oh.
Like what?
I don't know.
No. Name something that's not like, I don't want to say normal, but that's not common.
I mean, I get shit like this like all the time for liking this, but I really like cottage cheese.
Oh yeah,
disgusting. I don't know why no one likes cottage cheese. It's good.
Disgusting. It's sad cheese.
I like cottage cheese with black pepper on it. It's great.
No.
It's amazing. I also like pickles and peanut butter, like the dill pickles.
And peanut butter? Are you pregnant?
Yeah. It's good. It's good. So yeah, those are my odd foods.
That is certainly odd.
Odd foods that I will stand by until my dying breath. What are your odd foods?
I gotta think on it. I'm trying to find this girl's thing. Mock apple pie. And it has no apples, and it's made with, like, Ritz crackers.
Yeah. Is it just, like, cinnamon in it to, like, make it taste like apple pie?
Let me see if she has the recipe on here. Sugar, cream of tartar, water, lemon juice, and crackers. That's it.
Not even cinnamon?
Nope.
What the fuck?
There you go. Hard times. That's what she called the shit. Hot water pie. That's something else she made. Let's see what's in that.
Is it just hot water?
It's like hot water and probably like flour or something. I'm looking. Oh, this is an actual pie. Girl, why are you lying to me? Cold water cake. What is that? There was someone she had with people eating clay. But then she like prefaced it like that might be a cultural thing. She was saying it was like people in Haiti mostly doing it. They had some kind of clay that is
edible.
Yeah, it's supposedly like certain kinds of clay you can eat, but I think it's supposed to be like some kind of medicinal property to it.
I had no idea that you could eat clay.
Mm-hmm. Like clay is like a filler for like some products that we get, like medication and stuff.
Well, I guess like I understand that, but like a bowl of clay, like you just eat it.
Yep.
Huh.
She made like clay cookies, I think. All right, let me see if I can. Why didn't she have this? Maybe she hid these? I don't know. Because I was on her channel just now, and I didn't see them. So I had to do like a search for this in particular. Grapefruit steak. Making steak. Like you're chicken frying a grapefruit skin, essentially.
Yeah.
Yep. She took it and it's like the pith of the skin. Mm-hmm. And she put an egg and put it in breadcrumbs and fried it up. But that's one of them things, it's like you are so hungry.
Yeah, like anything is.
Yeah, and it's like you gotta trick yourself into thinking you're eating something better. So mm-hmm. that you can just get through what you gotta get through. I know that feel. I know that feel.
Oh, man. So what's a weird food you eat?
I don't know. Let me look. Hold on. Let me source. Hold on, I'll be back. All right. Gotta give him a couple of minutes. But his first response was broccoli.
That's dumb.
It is. I remember when I was a kid, I used to make broccoli sandwiches.
That's weird.
I fucking love them. It was broccoli. It would be like steamed broccoli, like from like a freezer pouch. And a little bit of butter on bread. It would like pepper.
I guess that doesn't sound that bad.
No, it was delicious. I don't know why it was so good. I don't know why it was so good. It just like hit the sweet spot for me.
Is like a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Is that weird?
No. Is that
like peanut butter, honey, and banana, but sometimes I would also put iceberg lettuce on it.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's no. The weirdest thing.
But yeah, no, it's fine. Just it's true and it's right.
Yeah, isn't that what Elvis used to eat? Like he used to fry his
peanut fry what?
Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Oh yeah, I think so. I remember when I was a kid, I liked fried bologna sandwiches.
I think it's a common thing too. That's not that weird. I have never had it, but it's not that odd.
What was like a food that you like couldn't eat as a kid, but now you're like it's fine?
Beans.
Same.
Just like the texture of beans was terrible. Yeah. And it's like I couldn't feel it. Like I couldn't even like reckon with the taste just because the texture was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like lima beans were the worst offenders.
My mom hates lima beans, so she never inflicted that upon us.
Nice.
I also hated onions when I was a kid.
Wow.
Which I feel is fairly common.
Why? Onions are delicious.
I don't know. Well, I agree now, but as a kid, I was just like, no to onions. Like, anything that I had to not have onions on it. I also, like, as an adult, again, it's like a texture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm okay with mushrooms that I make myself. Like, you know, like, I get, like, the HelloFresh meals and it has, like, mushrooms in it. And so, like, I'm fine with those mushrooms that I make. But like when I have like mushrooms on other things, like it always like it's like too mushy or they're like rubbery or like something's bad with the mushrooms. And like yeah. I just don't, so I usually just don't like getting things with mushrooms on them.
They probably overcook them. They probably cook them too long.
I remember I would always like pick off mushrooms from like pizza that we would get as a kid. Like my parents always liked getting like the combination pizza with like, you know, all the veggies and the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would always have to pick off all of the onions and all of the mushrooms.
I was thinking about another food I didn't like. It was a food my dad liked and my grandma would make it for him. He wanted my mom to do it too. But I fucking hated it. It was called cube steak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was essentially like a really cheap piece of meat that was tenderized to hell. And just, it was just the worst. It was like gristly and uncomfortable. And I'm just like, why would you eat this? It's like, you could totally get something else. Why would you want this?
Mm-hmm.
It was just really terrible. And I hated it. I feel like I was like, obviously I said I was a chubby kid, a heavy kid. I was a healthy eater, but like that was something I would never finish.
Mm-hmm.
I just fucking hated it. It was so bad.
I was just thinking about like organ meats again.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just like this memory that sticks in my head and has nothing to do with like food, but it's still like colors my association with it. I just remember like as a kid, like, you know, like the cats would always bring up like little prizes and put them on the porch. And so it was like, I walked out one time onto the front deck and I saw like this strange little thing on the deck. And I was like, what is that? And I like bent forward. I got closer. I was like looking real close at it. And I realized that it was just a tiny pile of organs.
Gross.
It was disgusting. And so it's like, whenever I think of like organ meat, like that's the image that my brain supplies. It's like, that's what that is. It's this tiny little random pile of organs that you found on your front porch when you were a kid.
Gross.
That's what all organ meat is.
I mean, I guess essentially just more of it, bigger.
Yeah, it just like it horrifies me.
My
it horrified me then and it horrifies me now.
I remember my I had like a food trauma when I was a kid and it stopped me from eating something, this thing, for years. Okay, we had this big metal trash can in the yard and I guess someone put it out and it wasn't completely like put trash in it that wasn't in a bag, or the bag opened up or something. And one day, like, my father and my uncles tipped it over, and it was just full of, like, maggots.
Ugh, gross.
And they dispatched the maggots, and I want to say, like, later that same week, like, I used to watch a lot of, like, you know, educational kid shows and stuff on TV. And one of them had, like, a bunch of little, like, ant larvae, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of the maggots. And then the same day that I watched that, we had burgers that my mom made with like fried onions.
Mm-hmm.
And something about the way the fried onions looked made me think of the maggots and the larvae.
Oof.
And I just,
now you're gonna ruin fried onions for me.
And I want to say for like 2 or 3 years, like, I couldn't eat a burger at all.
Yeah, that'll do it. That's gross.
I was just so messed up from it. I was like, I can't. All right, so how are you gonna close this out?
I don't know.
So,
I mean, like, after all of this, after all of these conversations about food traumas and like things that gross us out and stuff like that, you know what I'm going to do after this?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to heat up my Thai and I'm going to eat it. And I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of it.
There you go.
Like, nothing will destroy my appetite for my Thai food. Like, I love it. It's like we had this conversation one time, me and Tara and Christian, that like if you could like have like your belly button produce like some kind of sauce.
What?
These are the things that we talk about. Like if you could like have like your belly button produce some kind of sauce that it was just like ever present, like you could just like what would it be? And mine would be Penang curry. Like I qualified that as a sauce. And okay. It would just like come out and it would be amazing. I would just have a Like, it would just always be there, and I could always have it whenever I wanted.
All right. Enjoy your belly sauce that you're going to eat now.
And see, I know that that's gross, and yet it still doesn't put me off it. I will eat it for every day for the rest of my life and enjoy every second of it.
I envy your level of dedication to Penang curry. I do not have that.
So good.
I don't think, like, I feel like even if I like something, like, objectively, I feel like having it come out of my body would turn me off it.
No. Yeah, I love it.
Like, that's me personally. Like, I couldn't, I couldn't do it. Gross. But I think that's a good place to end. Why don't you tell us on Twitter what sauce you would want to eat that came, like, what sauce would you want to have coming out of your belly button so that you could have it all the time?
I mean, what else is your belly button good for?
Just existing. Piercing.
Like it needs to do something. It may as well produce a sauce.
I mean, it had a job. It just stopped doing the job once you're born.
Well, now it needs to be repurposed.
Into a sauce dispenser.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's the show. We'll see you next week.
You've just listened to We're Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strong Suit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. You can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at We're Disappointed on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeareDisappointed.com, and we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.